It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is August 12th, 2022, and it is 1901 UTC. Thank you so much for being here and tuning in. You are listening to a non-radio, and it's news to me time, just like the intro said. If you want to hang out and talk during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. You can use tty.sdf.org if you'd like. Just type com at the prompt, then press G for go to, and type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. And once you do that, you will be brought to the room. You'll see it says you are in a non-radio among 44. At least that's what I see right now. And once you're there, you'll be hanging out with cool people like Froggy Me and SCM and LD Beth. Fatty is here, and just the whole crew. So, sorry, one sec. My headphones are being weighted down by a USB cable. There we go. Hello, hello. What is up? What is up? Also, just a reminder, you can use Jabber Chat. There's a non-radio room there. What else? Where else was I going to mention? I just mentioned that. Com is where we're hanging out, though. So, there we go. All right. So, there's a lot of news today, and that's what we're here for. So, let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start. That, my friends, is with
World News.
That is right. World News. All right. So, let's get going. First, Gaza death toll rises to 49, including 17 children. Palestinian mourners held a funeral for a fighter who succumbed to wounds suffered during an attack by Israel on the besieged territory of Gaza last weekend. His death brought the total number of Palestinians killed during the three-day assault to 49, including 17 children. The body of Anas Inshasi, 22, was wrapped in black and white flag of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Mourners said he was wounded by an Israeli air raid while firing mortar rounds toward Israel. Israel launched a wave of air raids last Friday after detaining an Islamic Jihad leader in the occupied West Bank earlier that week. Islamic Jihad, the group, began firing rockets at Israel hours after the initial wave of attacks. The violence ended with an Egyptian-brokered ceasefire on Sunday. In the 3 days, Israel killed two top Islamic Jihad commanders in Gaza, and the armed group said it lost a total of 12 fighters. Many Palestinian civilians were among those killed and wounded by Israeli attacks, including the children, after an 11-year-old girl died of her wounds on Thursday. Two children are being treated in an intensive care unit of a Palestinian hospital in Jerusalem. Hey, welcome, SMJ. Thanks for tuning in and joining in on Calm. Howdy, howdy. And, let's see. Yeah. All right. And abort retry fail is here. So hello, hello, all y'all. And then there's photos of the kids that are killed. Some are 18. You know, one was 18, 17, 16, 9, all the way down to 4. No Israelis were killed or seriously wounded. And since 2008, Israel has waged 4 wars on the Palestinian territory, killing nearly 4,000 people. One quarter of them are children. Hey, X1, welcome, welcome. And, manga. If manga is the topic, ooh, buddy, that is a fun topic to get into. Not doing it, not doing it. We're doing this. We're talking about the news. Mexico prison cartel. Sorry, I get sidetracked easily. Mexico prison cartel's clash spills onto the streets of Border City, leaving 11 dead. You may have remembered that we talked about this not too long ago. Well, it's continued to boil over. A prison confrontation between members of two rival cartels spilled onto the streets of the border city of Ciudad Juarez, where alleged gang members have killed 9 more people, including 4 employees of a radio station. The violence began on Thursday when Los Chapos, members of the infamous Sinaloa cartel, formerly led by Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, clashed with the local group of Los Mexicales in Juarez prison, Deputy Security Minister Ricardo Mejia said. A riot then broke out, leaving two shot to death and four injured with bullet wounds. Mejia said, speaking alongside the Mexican president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, at a press conference, at a regular news conference. Another 16 were injured in the fighting. I'm trying to think of a way to say Andrés Manuel López Obrador in a faster way. Maybe AMLO? That's still a lot of letters. Officials do not say what caused the clash. The violence came 2 days after the drug cartel gunmen burned vehicles and businesses in the western states of Jalisco and Guanajuato. So, López Obrador, popularly known as AMLO, came to power promising hugs, not bullets, which he promised would reduce soaring murder rates in the country. But experts say the strategy has only emboldened criminal groups to become more violent and expand territorial controls across the country. Hey, Stugs here. Welcome, welcome. Suspected bank robber rescued from tunnel near Vatican. Now, if this is... I found it to be a little bit funny. I gotta admit, but it's not a laughing matter, I guess. An Italian man has been rescued from a collapsed tunnel near the Vatican, and police suspect he could have been burrowing his way into a bank. He is now recovering in hospital after firefighters spent 8 hours digging him out from under the road. But he now may need to dig himself out of further trouble. Ha ha ha. What a fun joke, BBC. As police have arrested him and a second man for damage to public property. Officers believe he may have been part of a gang trying to break into a bank. Two other men were arrested for resisting a public official after trying to escape from the site. Three of the four men have managed to escape before the tunnel collapsed, leaving the final man trapped 6 meters below. We are still investigating. We do not exclude that they are thieves. It is one of the theories, a police spokesman told AFP. The tunnel, which began in an empty, newly rented shop, was in an area close to two banks. Local media believe the motive to be clear, noting that the tunnel was found near a bank shortly before the August 15th long weekend, wherein much of the city empties. The whole gang, spelled H-O-L-E, see you later, S-C-C, the whole gang read the headline in the Corriere della Sera Daily. Michelle, a resident who lives in the same building, said residents had no idea what was going on, adding, "We all thought that people there were renovating the place." So I just thought that was neat. That could be, this could be a scene in a movie, how wild that is. Now we got to turn to more murder and death. What? Yeah, that's just how that happens. Life sentence for Singaporean man who murdered wife while on holiday in UK. A 51-year-old Singaporean was handed a life sentence on Friday after pleading guilty to smothering his wife to death with a pillow while they were on holiday in Britain. Judge Paul Sloan told Fong Soon Hurt that he must serve 12 and a half years in a British prison before the possibility of parole. His time spent in custody, 249 days, will be taken into account. In his closing remarks, Judge Sloan said the tragic incident was utterly and completely out of character, and that he had no doubt that Fong is genuinely remorseful for his actions. He killed his 51-year-old wife, Madam Peking Ling, on December 6th last year at the County Apart Hotel in Newcastle. He'd initially pled guilty to manslaughter but denied the charge of murder. His trial ended abruptly on Tuesday, the fifth day of the hearing, when he changed his plea to guilty of murder. The decision came after his attorneys reviewed the evidence and concluded that their original planned defense of diminished responsibility was unsustainable. Stug points out, I can see how going to Newcastle could make someone do that. I'm not sure. It sounds like Newcastle might not be the kind of place you want to go to. Welcome back, SEC. The statement began... then we kind of go on through the life and times of the people involved. His lawyer says that Fong had no recollection of what had occurred and suggested he had intended only to make his wife stop talking and not cause her death. Before handing down his sentence, Judge Sloan said, "An offense of domestic violence often follows a history of violence and controlling and abusive behavior, which a sentence should reflect. However, this case could not be further removed from the type of situation I just described." So, very interesting. Hey, Utsuho. Whoops. Welcome back. So, yeah, it seems that this is an unusual case, but, yeah, he's going to spend a long time there in the UK, more longer than he thought. It's time to talk about some environmental stuff before...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We'll talk about some environmental stuff. We'll talk about some cool animals, and then we'll play a song. The sad stuff in the environment is the drought has hit Germany's Rhine River. There's less than 30 centimeters of water left in the river. As Europe lives through a long, hot summer, one of the continent's major rivers is getting drier, posing major problems for people and businesses that rely on it. Captain Andre Kimpel casts an experienced but worried eye across the River Rhine, where water levels have dropped significantly in recent days. Several ferry services in and around the town of Cobb have been forced to a standstill, but he's still carrying people and their cars across the water to the opposite bank for now. It's no joke, he says, as he navigates the water. We have 1.5 meters of water, and our boat sits 1.2 meters deep, so we have 30 centimeters of water beneath us. It's not unusual for water levels to drop, but Captain Kimball says it's happening more frequently. We used to have a lot of floods, now we have a lot of low waters. On the riverbank nearby, there's an old measuring station. Any skipper wanting to enter the Upper Rhine will refer to the official water level recorded here. The current level hasn't yet fallen below the lowest figure ever recorded in October of 2018. The measurement then was 25 centimeters. The measurement is taken from the same reference point in the water, not the deepest point on the riverbed. It's currently 42 centimeters, but it's forecast to fall further in the coming days. Travel a little further upstream and the challenge is obvious. At the town of Bingen, great swaths of the riverbed are exposed, bleached stones, powdered dry in the baking sun. The Rhine is one of Europe's great working rivers, and industry here relies on barges to fetch and carry raw materials and finished products to and from the power plants and factories that line the riverbank. So this is going to be bad news, dangerous stuff there. Of course, kind of a similar but different problem. And Ethiopia has completed the third filling of the Blue Nile Mega Dam Reservoir. You may remember this was a big thing when they were building this dam. Ethiopia has completed the third filling of its Mega Dam Reservoir on the Blue Nile, Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has announced, a development that could raise further tensions with downstream neighbors of Egypt and Sudan. The announcement on Friday comes a day after Ethiopia said it had launched power production from the second turbine at the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, or GERD. Today, as you see behind me, the third filling is complete, Abiy said in images shown on state television. Compared to last year, we've reached 600 meters, which is 1,968 feet, which is 25 meters higher than the previous filling. The Nile is a gift of God given to us for Ethiopians to make use of it. The enormous $4.2 billion dam project was the center of a regional dispute ever since Ethiopia broke ground in 2011. Egypt and Sudan view the dam as a threat because their dependence on Nile River waters, while Ethiopia deems the dam essential for domestic electrification and development. Egypt depends on the Nile for 97% of its irrigation and drinking water. Ethiopia first began generating electricity in February. Currently, the two turbines, at a total of 13, have a capacity to generate 750 megawatts of electricity. The Nile is 6,000 kilometers long. It's one of the longest in the world, and it's an essential source of water and electricity for dozens of countries in East Africa. So, we'll see how this all plays out, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ethiopia finds explosives at their door if they're not careful. All right, let's talk about a couple animals, because this guy...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Here, maybe I'll just tell you about one animal now and one owl. This is a short one. Freya, the walrus, could be put down unless public back off, Norway warns. A walrus that has become a popular attraction in the Oslo Fjord is being endangered by too much attention and could even be put down for our own good, authorities say. The walrus, nicknamed Freya, rose to fame after clambering onto boats to sunbathe, sometimes sinking them. But the Norwegian Fisheries Ministry says people are getting too close, putting her and themselves at risks. It's considering measures including euthanasia if a crowd persists. Despite repeated warnings, people continue to gather close to the 1,300-pound, 600-kilogram walrus. Its statements include a photograph of a large group of people, including children, standing within touching distance of the animal. A spokesperson, Nadia Jadaini, said authorities had witnessed several potentially dangerous incidents in the last week, including people swimming with the walrus, approaching with their children, and throwing things at the animal. So, anyway, it's pretty dangerous. Dangerous stuff. Scary stuff there. So, yeah. Don't approach giant animals just because you think they look cute. You'll be in for a bad day. But somebody that had a good day. Buzzed here. Here we go. Bear cub high on hallucinogenic mad honey, rescued by park rangers. A brown bear cub has been rescued by rangers at a national park in Turkey after it consumed a hallucinogen. Mad honey, or deli bal in Turkish, is a type of rhododendron honey. Footage shows the bear looking dazed and wobbly before taking it to a vet. So, just wanted to mention that because I thought that was a cute little headline. And of course, once we're talking about getting high, we're going to talk about Jimmy. This song is called Purple Haze.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. Oh, I'm a little clogged up. One sec. There we go. All right. That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you. Thank you so much for being here and hanging out, listening to the show. Sounds like we may get a dubious goals committee at 1930 UTC if things hold up. We shall see. Holding our breath, keeping our fingers crossed. But yeah. So anyway, sorry, I'm trying to see what else is going on. Seems like we got some troubleshooting tips and tricks going on. And so yeah, if anybody in SDF land, well, anyway, we'll just keep on going. We got a lot of news to cover. We got about 9 minutes to go. So let's get going. Let's jump over and talk about some domestic stuff. The traumatic experience of U.S. monkeypox patients. The U.S. declared monkeypox a public health emergency late last week. It follows weeks of concern that more needs to be done to contain the virus. On a private daily Zoom call, adult gay men who have contracted monkeypox compare notes. They share their frustrations over trying to get tested or treated, but being turned away by healthcare professionals. They throw around tips on how to manage pain that gets worse with each new blister on your body and leaves you unable to do anything, and to keep from going stir crazy as they wait for the lesions to heal. They bond over a shared experience none of them asked for. The first U.S. monkeypox case this year was detected on May 18th in the state of Massachusetts. Since then, more than 10,000 cases have been reported across the country in every state except for Wyoming. Although anybody can contract the virus through direct contact with an infected person or surface, men in recent sexual contact with other men have accounted for the vast majority of cases. Last Thursday, the federal government declared a... They've said this already. Come on, BBC. Get it together. Come on, Sam Cabral. Those who've already endured a bout of the virus wish they could come, help had come a lot sooner. It's a very traumatic experience, said Jeffrey Glaze, who hosts the Zoom meetings. I'm a different person having been through this. If you haven't lived through it, you have no idea what kind of pain this is, and the red tape that's attached to try and get help and support. The New York native, age 41, began feeling sick on the day he was supposed to get his vaccine. Currently on day 25 of the illness, he's experienced practically every symptom, from the lesions and swollen lymph nodes to an extended high fever. Although public awareness is rising, vaccines remain in short supply, and the Biden administration said it will stretch the limited number of jabs available by administering only 1/5 of a full dose. So yeah, it's very scary. Someone shared a timeline, which I'm going to share the image with Com here, and then you'll be able to see it later in the archive if you want. All you got to do is go to sdf.org/L/63. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot dot Oscar Romeo Golf slash Lima slash 63. That's sdf.org/L/63. And once you go there, that, my friend, is a warning from me to you, because that is a picture of someone, a tweet someone posted showing a timeline of day 1 through, was it 10 or through the course of them having monkeypox, and like what the wounds, what the lesions looked like. So anyway, that's what's going on there. When we're talking about networking and wireless networking, I know that in my area, I just want to chime in because Com's talking about it. In my area, once Google Fiber came to the neighborhood, the number of higher power radio waves blasting through my place really messed everything up for me. I had to switch to wired for everything except for my mobile devices. And my mobile devices, I actually tuned my Wi-Fi router to use, what is it called? There's some Wi-Fi frequencies that are also sometimes used by radar. So to use it, the radio on your router, it has to like check that nobody's using the using the frequency. It's kind of wild. But if there aren't any transmissions on the frequency over like 24 hours or something like that, then it lets you use it for your Wi-Fi. Anyway, in Ohio, an armed man was shot dead after trying to breach Ohio FBI office. The suspect fled the scene in Cincinnati and was shot by police after an hours-long standoff in a rural area. Law enforcement officials told the U.S. media they are examining whether the man, whom outlets named Ricky Schiffer, 42, had any ties to far-right groups. The head of the FBI said violence and threats against the agency should be deeply concerning to all Americans. Police have not formally identified the suspect killed in Ohio on Thursday and didn't comment on his motive during news briefings. Polio has been detected in New York wastewater, officials say. The virus that causes polio has been detected in New York City's wastewater weeks after a case of polio was identified in Rockland County, about 30 miles north of the city. The presence of the virus in the city's wastewater suggests likely local circulation of the virus. The state health commissioner, Mary Bassett, said the detection of poliovirus in wastewater samples in New York City was alarming, but not surprising. Earlier this month, it emerged that the poliovirus was present in wastewater in a suburb of New York, a month before health officials there announced a confirmed case of the disease in July. There is no cure for polio, which can cause irreversible paralysis in some cases, but it can be prevented by a vaccine made available in 1955. New York officials have said they were opening vaccine clinics to help unvaccinated residents get their shots. Inactive polio vaccine is the only polio vaccine that has been given in the United States since 2000, according to the CDC. It's given by a shot in the leg or arm, depending on the age. Polio is often asymptomatic, and people can transmit the virus even when they don't appear sick, but it can produce mild flu-like symptoms that can take as long as 30 days to appear. An unvaccinated young adult was the first one that got a case. We're running low on time, so I want to go through and talk about a few other things here. Salman Rushdie was stabbed in the neck while giving a talk. The Indian-born author has enjoyed great success during his literary career of 5 decades. He's also faced death threats for some of the content of his work. In Rushdie's fourth novel, The Satanic Verses, which becomes his most controversial book, and he was forced to go into hiding as a result of the backlash. He's stabbed on a stage, an event in New York State. Eyewitnesses say he was struck many times by an attacker wearing a mask. Police said he was stabbed in the neck. His agent says he's now in surgery, but doesn't have an update on the condition. A suspect was arrested at the scene, is in custody. The Satanic Verses was published in 1988, so this isn't a new book. So that's what's going on, just a little heads up there. And in the United States, close up here, Republicans vote against insulin bill as price soars, dismaying diabetics. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Aaron Connolly had to ration insulin while transitioning to a different health insurance plan. The Biden administration was planning to cap the price of the drug, and she was delighted. Price of insulin has soared in the U.S. in recent decades and is more than 8 times higher in the U.S. than in 32 comparable high-income nations, with an average price of $98 per unit in the U.S. compared with $7 in the U.K. U.S. insulin sales account for nearly half the pharmaceutical industry's insulin revenue, though the U.S. makes up only about 15% of the global market. Many diabetics require several vials of insulin a month, in addition to the cost of supplies and monitoring equipment. And really, that is about all the time we got. There are plenty more news stories to go along, but we're kind of out of time. So I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Please tune in for the Synth Battle Royale if you can tonight. If that happens, just check in with Comp. And yeah, enjoy the Dubious Goals community.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.